Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Beautiful rendition of a beautiful song. Powerful stuff, isn't it? So many images in that song that you could take hold of and talk about. You know, the idea, of course, of the river itself. But the idea that God is more than we take God to be. And when I say God, I mean the universe, everything, this whole ball of wax. There's always more than we think there is on any given day, right? And we want God, or we want life a certain way. And if it doesn't show up a certain way, we're not happy. But God shows up in a multiplicity of ways, and so does life. And if we can embrace it all, then we come to a greater understanding that it's not either or, right? It is both and. And I love that that concept. It's not either or. It's not you versus me, or I'm right and you're wrong. It is, there can be truth in a whole multiplicity of things, yeah? And we got to allow space for that to be present. And even in the greatest reverses of my life, of our lives, we find that there's blessings. Yes, and we talk about this a lot. This is one of our themes in the church. We were talking about by their fruits you should know them at 9:30, which is a wonderful saying of Jesus, isn't it? That how are you going to fruit? How can you bring forth what's the value and quality of you, the essential you? But then somebody says, yeah, you know, figs don't have thorns. They have figs on their tree. And somebody said, well, yeah, but thorns are okay too. And, you know, we have to embrace the fact that a rose has thorns, right? And so both are valid, aren't they? And sometimes you have to lean into the thorns to learn the most stuff in life, you know, and not always admire the pretty flowers. So counterintuitive ways of thinking. And one of the most counterintuitive ways of thinking is the Sermon on the Mount. Because the Sermon on the Mount is three chapters. You've probably read it, yeah? Familiar with it? Chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And in that, it's like the manifesto, the Jesus manifesto. And he sets everything on its head. He just turns the whole world upside down. Because where it was literal, he goes metaphysical, he goes spiritual. Where there was conformity, he goes paradox, he goes conundrum. He twists our heads in all kinds of ways to make us think again, right? And where there was this sense of externality, what does it look like out there? He says, not about out there, it's about the opposite of out there. In here, there we go. It's all about in here. It's all about what's going on internally. So it turns the whole thing on its head, right? It's not about externals. It's about internals. If you get it right internally, the world conforms to that. It's not about the literal, what's happening in the outer. It's about what's the discernment I make from a spiritual context. And it's not about accepting received information. It is coming to a radical new understanding of the information that my heart has to teach me. And probably, you tell me, but isn't it one of the most difficult, hard sayings of Jesus' gospel is turn the other cheek? Because it's been misinterpreted so many ways. I remember as a kid, I thought that's crazy. Oh, that might be high idealism, but there's no way that could ever be brought into being in the planet, you know? And then we sort of dismissed Jesus as being a nice little idealist, but not really a pragmatic thinker. But now, of course, I understand what turn the other cheek means in a different context. But if I take it literally, I'm inviting someone to beat me up. And I don't think that's what Jesus is asking us to do, right? I don't think that's what it's about, because he has a different agenda here. He's talking about something spiritual. And when I understand it spiritually, it makes perfect sense. So what does it mean? Well, let's read the passage first, and then we'll unpack it. This, like I said, this is from Matthew 5 through 7, and this particular passage is 5, 38 to 48. I'm going to read those 10 verses. You have heard that it was said. See, that's conventional wisdom. You'd heard it. That's the way you were taught. You heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you must not oppose those who want to hurt you. If people slap you on your right cheek, you must turn your left cheek to them as well. When they wish to haul you to court and take your shirt, let them have your coat too. When they force you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to those who ask, and don't refuse those who wish to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good, and sends rain on both the righteous and unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do as much? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete. Before I start at the beginning, let me say something about the end there. I love that translation because the older translation says, you must therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Oh no, do I have to be perfect now? That's a tough one, perfect. But I love this translation. You must be incomplete. Just as God is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete. In other words, not partial, not sort of separated, not defensive, but open, not either or, but both and, right? Complete, full on. Here I am. I'm not getting defensive. I'm not shrinking away because somebody doesn't agree with me, you know, and defending myself because that's not living this larger life. And like I said, there's one word for me in the whole of Sermon on the Mount that Jesus has invited us to do, and that's expand. Now, you can expand in two ways. If you're locked in your ego and your humanness, and all you see around you is defensiveness and things to protect, and all you're going to expand is more of that defensiveness, right? If you're feeling hurt and hate, then all we do by doing those and having those emotions to expand those things. But when we come from spirit and begin to expand the good, then we have limitless opportunity for expansion. Why? There are no boundaries in spirit, are there? Have you found one? Please dial home if you have. Because I don't think you'll find a boundary in spirit. So when you're in spirit and invited to expand, which is what Jesus invites us to do in the Sermon on the Mount, then we can truly expand. We can expand into the allness of God, who is always more than we have accepted up till this moment. Yeah? Is that true? God is always more. There's always more. I'm teachable. I'm open. There's more going on than meets the eye, right? On any given day. Every day is a new day because there's more good to come, no matter what mistakes we've made in the past. So he invites us not to oppose, to turn the other cheek, to hand over your shirt and your coat, and go more than 1 mile. Now, literally, no thanks. That doesn't sound like much fun. What a week that's going to be. Good Lord, I'm going to lose my coat. I'm going to get slapped around. No, you see, it can't be literally, can it? So it's talking about a different way of approaching things. If I am hit on the cheek, right, literally or metaphysically, I have an opportunity. I could take it very, very personally and do what? Want to lash out back. Or I could see that there's a higher way. It appears that you don't like me right now. But I don't have to respond in kind. I can turn the other cheek, meaning what? I can have a non-resistant attitude. I can confound that person by not going the conventional way, right? I can open up to something larger. I can see that maybe that person is hurt, that they want to do that. And so I don't have to hurt back. Because what happens if I do? Then I'm in the old dispensation, aren't I? I have an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus said there's a higher way. Hold the thought. I want to go back to eye for an eye, right, before we carry on with the new way. Eye for an eye is not all bad, folks. Because when Moses put eye for an eye, lex talionis, the law of even exchanges, in place, they were doing outrageous things before that. Because if somebody took your eye, then they'd destroy the whole village, right? And unfortunately, that still goes on in the Middle East. You know, if somebody does one hateful thing, then they go 100 times worse. So they haven't even got to an eye for an eye yet in some places, still in our world. But when that was put in, it was the law of proportion. You know, okay, you took an eye, I'll take an eye. So at least we're limiting the damage. But see, we don't want to live in damage control, do we? We want to go to a higher level. So Jesus said, that was fine, but now there's a higher way, right? The way of non-resistance. I don't have to take it personally. It's not about me. We are one in spirit. And when I remember my expansive spirit, it's okay to turn the other cheek, isn't it? It's okay to say, you can't hurt me. I can only be hurt to the level that I allow, that I buy into how precious my cheek is. Don't touch it. But as long as it's not that important to me, you know, hey, it's okay. It's part of my humanness. You got me. But we don't have to stay there. There's something higher. And it's the same with the coach. You know, I don't think I'm going to court and handing over all my clothes this week, to tell you the truth. I don't really want to do that, but I understand that spiritually, it means that my good is not enshrined in my shirt or my coat, right? I am not saying, well, that's who I am. You cannot have it. Look how special my coat is. Because if I have to do that, more fool me, right? I am limited by the clothes that I wear. What Jesus is saying, hey, where's your true value? Your value is not, listen, if they want your shirt, let them have it. You'll find another one, right? It's not about the shirt. So that if you can only remember one thing from today's sermon, it's not about the shirt. It's not about the coat either. It's about releasing ourselves from having to have those protections, right? How many times have you not wanted to budge an inch because you didn't want to give up something that was inherently stupid, like a shirt or a coat, but you wouldn't do it? And what's happened? You get stuck in that then, right? Stuck in being right. Stuck in being righteous. But if we can let it go, it's like the river. We've let go of that stone. Stones are very fragile, aren't they? Really. They can be eroded down. So if we're on a rock, we're in a danger zone, really. We're not safe. And I love that song because of that. When we flow into the river, we're part of the endless flexibility of God. And there's always more. When you're stuck on a rock, there's nowhere to go. Think about it. You may be king of your castle, but it's not much fun because you can't leave your castle. And that's what this is about. It's about leaving your castle. You don't have to be defended. There's a higher way. It's okay. You know, you can't be really hurt unless you allow yourself to be hurt. And only your ego can be hurt. What did you say earlier? Let go of my ego? Let go of my ego. Now, who can let go your ego? Only you can let go your ego. So, what else in that particular part of the passage? Does it make sense that it's not literal? It's about how to approach life from a higher perspective. But when we do that, we see that the literal is affected. Right? The literal conforms, the external conforms to the change internally. But if we're trying to make it work out right externally, then it'll never happen. Because it's always rearranging the furniture on the Titanic kind of thing, you know? We're always trying to make it look nicer and better. And it's not about that. It's about relaxing. I don't know what happened to all the people that died on the Titanic, but they ended up the same. We're all going to end up. Lazarus was brought back from the dead, only to die again. So it's not about miracles like that are outside the law of nature. It's how do we live the moments we have well, yeah? To be as expansive as we can. Many of my friends in Britain are going ape right now after Brexit, you know? Britain left the European Union, and it shocked a lot of people. I think maybe some people were just voting to protest. They had no idea that they were going to be enough to kick us out of the European community. Britain, that is. I still think of myself somewhat as British sometimes. But I know I'm a Texan now, yeah. But you know what I tell them is, hey, we don't know, do we? What could happen? Wonderful things could happen in doing and following in a new way. Unfortunately, society doesn't follow facts, it follows fears. And the market has gone down, the pound has gone down. You know, the rest of the world is in chaos and worried about what's happening in Britain and Europe right now. And really, do they have to? Do we have to? It's optional, isn't it? But it's so much is led by our fears and our human ego concerns. Yeah, we have to hold the faith that something great can come forth, even from the most challenging of situations sometimes. Cheaper holidays in Britain, I'm going. Yeah, here we go. There's always good in everything. Only ego defends, not spirit, because spirit has nothing to defend, right? Yes, that's true. Spirit is free, like the wind, as Jesus said. It's expansive, it's embracing, and spirit is everywhere present. And he goes on to talk about this. He says, you know, love your neighbor. Now, you've heard that. That's nice. Love the people that are similar to you, that agree with you, etc. But listen, I'm going to ask you to love your enemies. Now, here's my question. Who are our enemies then? What does that mean? How do you create an enemy? I mean, what are they, these things called enemies? When does somebody become an enemy? Okay, when you can't trust them. So you can't trust somebody, so they're now your enemy. Is that right? When they hurt your ego. When they hurt your ego, okay. When I define them as an enemy, I get the choice, don't I, of defining somebody as an enemy. I mean, when I say I can't trust somebody, what does that mean? Okay, I don't trust myself in this situation. Okay, I disagree with their opinion. So, spirit disagrees with their opinion, correct?
No.
Spirit is defensive right now, and hurt, and afraid. No. See, when we're in spirit, there cannot be any enemies, right? Because there's only one of us here. We're a part of the whole. It's only when we're into our humanness that we feel lack of trust and fear and all these things. So the enemies are self-created. We create our enemy on any given day. And sometimes the enemies are lurking deep inside of us, aren't they? We're our own worst enemy. And I tell my thought people, let go my ego. Because it holds fast to it. And you know, I dislike, in my own mind, making vows that I'm going to do something. You know, I'm not going to think that thought again. I'm not going to go back to that habit. The minute you say that, it's like roller coaster land for the habit all of a sudden. I did one last week. I thought, I'm over this one right now. I'm not going there again. Whoa! Shouldn't have said anything. Because that's the contrary nature of our humanness, you know.
You're setting a specific target and goal for your ego.
There we go. There we go. That's how tricky the ego can be sometimes, you know, and keeping us stuck. And it's good, like I say, it's good job security for people like me. Seriously, because we can be on this for years and years and years. We know the truth, but then we can't put it into practice, can we? In fact, there's something like it's cussedness or something. We don't want to put it into practice. We want to stay stuck. We want to hear the wonderful truth. Oh, yeah, I could be free. Not today. Maybe later. My ego has other plans right now, you know. I'll be complete and whole and wonderful one day, but yeah, you got one.
Ego could be ego, but ego helped the doctor create Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, yeah, all right. There's a beautiful sermon in there, or a song. There's a song in there. Jesus sums it up too when he says, in terms of the embrace of wholeness, the embrace of expansiveness. He says, listen, the Father makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good alike and sends rain on both the righteous and the righteous. Now, what is that telling you then? God doesn't see enemies, right? And all along, I thought God was on our side. What the heck? He is, but in a larger sense, right? Both teams are praying, knowing that God is on their side, but only one team can win. But in the great scheme of things, God doesn't really care who won, you know. Yeah, that's right. Because there are no losers, right? In God's dispensation, there are no losers. We divide and conquer again. It's an either-or world. And I want to see Wales win the European Soccer Cup. Yes, I do. But I'm not going to lose any sleep if they don't. It'll be okay. I'll be happy for whoever does win. But it's a both-and. Yeah, one more. Exactly. Right. Yep. And we always do. And that's what we're saying, whether it's writ large in terms of nations or writ small in terms of our own positions, that's the way to hell, if you like. That's the way to limited options, right? And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, turn the other cheek. Don't be limited. Don't stay stuck in that hurt. See it from another perspective. Turn it around. There's a new way of looking at this thing. It can only hurt me to the degree that I let it, that I allow it, that I am defensive about it. Now, the compassionate communication piece that we're doing is all about this. It's the ability to use techniques that help us free our egos from staying stuck, right? To be a Frankenstuck. We do not want to be a Frankenstuck. We want to be a Frankenflow. So that's so That is so wrong. But it's good, though, isn't it? Whatever makes us laugh is good. That's the way I look at it. Whatever makes us buoyant and joyous, yeah? Because it's in the... Jesus had a good time, folks, you know? They've sort of squeezed him into milk toast sometimes, but really, he was a heck of a guy, you know? And it would have been really cool to be around him, I think, to be in that radical teaching, right? That radical freedom that he espoused, and not just lived it for himself, but invited us to do it as well. And that's the exciting thing about this. Beautiful things. And I've totally forgotten where I was going. Oh, yeah, I was talking about compassionate communication. The idea behind it is, instead of being, like we said, stuck in a particular response, I'm able to stop and look. I'm able to observe and notice the feelings that are arising, both from me and from what I perceive in the other person. So I can look at it objectively, so I can be empathetic to the other person, but also compassionate to me. So I'm not losing ground. I'm owning my truth. I'm being honest and authentic, but I'm also extending. I'm expanding so that I can empathize with the other person. And it's from that observing honestly that I can request and ask for the needs that I feel are missing in this situation. And so that's what we're going to be teaching today, is that ability to break through those old ways of staying stuck, of staying limited, right, into either or. And this stuff's worked all over the world. They've done it in the Middle East with people that hate each other. They've done it in therapy groups, done it one-on-one. It's a proven technique to transform consciousness. And I like it because it's very much in line with what we teach in Unity every single day. So let's sum it all up. What are we going to take into our week from what we've talked about, from the radical teachings, the internal, expansive, spiritualized, free teachings of Jesus? What one thing made sense?
It's okay to lose your shirt.
It's okay to lose your shirt. So go with the flow, lose your shirt.
Let go your ego.
Let go your ego.
Let go and let God.
Let go and let God be God in you. Yeah? Love everyone. Okay, sometimes you will, but remember when you do, right? Get off being a rock, get off your rock, jump in. And remember one thing, folks, there's always more to unpack and open in any situation, whether it be looking in the Bible, whether it be in our workplace with a friend. There's always more going on than meets the eye, right? And see that. See that there's that expansiveness to open to something higher. We don't have to stay limited, right? There's more, always more good available to us on each and every given day. I'm an old-fashioned unity idealist, optimist, and romantic in that regard. And I think that's okay. Amen. So we give ourselves this wonderful time to be quiet and to go into that spiritual dimension of who we are. And as Jesus said, it's always within. It's that spiritual dimension of all possibility. And it invites us to move beyond conventional thinking and limited options into something more radical. Maybe it confounds us, and that's okay. It's more than we can get our head around. But it's real. It's powerful. And it's present at the heart of us. That we are spiritual beings imbued with all manner of tools and principles and qualities. And when I accept that for myself, I accept it for all beings on this planet. Each of us has that same capability. Flavor, the idiosyncrasies, the way it expresses may be different, but the essence is the same. And so as we journey within, let us discover again that spaciousness of spirit, more than we could imagine, greater than our wildest dreams. Radically loving, intrinsically on our side. And we can say that because in spirit there are no sides. God loves each one of us unconditionally. So in the silence now, come home to that beauty, possibility that you and we are. In the silence. So we now affirm that we are whole, well, and free, complete, as God creates us to be every moment of every day. For all that, thank you, God. And so it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.